We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield, this is Holding Court with Courtney Banghart, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Here's your host, Matt Krause.
And we say hello live on location at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. It is Holding Courts with Courtney Banghart, the show where we talk all things Carolina women's basketball with the head coach herself. My name is Matt Krause, radio play-by-play voice of Carolina women's basketball, joined by coach. And coach, the regular season is in the rear view and it ends with a bang. A second straight regular season sweep of Duke. Carolina gets the job done in Durham, 45-41. Yeah, clap for that.
You bet.
It might be the lowest winning score in program history, but at the end of the day, you have more points than the other team, and that's what really matters. After all the adversity of the last month, you know, players in and out of the lineup, some close defeats, finally the ball bounces your way. Yeah. What does a win like that mean for this program, this year's team, and this fan base?
Yeah, I mean, to share it with so many y'all was, I mean, we came out, they were doing their starting lineups in their gym, and it was Tar Heels, and it was awesome. So that was kind of neat. You know, obviously our kids' hearts were in their throats there after the game on Thursday. That kind of felt like, again, we were just short. And the way they held through adversity and just kind of put one foot in front of the other, you know, they deserved it, you know, and it was finally great to be able to celebrate them.
Who started the shower in the locker room? Was it you or was it the team this time?
It was them this time, but I was smart enough to change my shoes because you know, the shoes that I wear are worth a lot, right? And so I changed them to my travel shoes. So they didn't totally surprise me, but they got there before I could.
Yeah, you got to preserve those shoes. You don't want those getting dirty and all wet and everything like that.
No.
45-41, the final score. Off the top of your head, have you ever been part of a game that is as much of a heavy prize fight as that one?
It was certainly that's exactly what it was. It felt like a heavyweight battle. You know, each possession was critical, and that's kind of how it's been over the last few games. But Duke has a lot to offer defensively, and as do we. And so kind of felt a little bit like I was watching my son's game in terms of the scoring. but But the Heat, they don't play quite as much defense. So that's a little bit more of their offensive errors. I think this one was just two solid defensive teams.
Yeah, you forced 25 turnovers in that victory in defense. Like you said, taking the headlines from the game, Duke was 12 for 37. That's 32% on two-point field goal attempts. How is your team so disruptive, especially in the paint and inside the arc?
I thought, you know, give a lot of credit to our practice guys. You know, we really did a good job making sure we knew, hey, these were the five or six actions that we're just not letting them score on. They're not letting them get it to certain spots on the floor where they need to attack from. And we defended them really well in practice. And so we sort of knew where we needed to be, and our guys just were totally locked in. And then, of course, you throw Destiny in and start trapping on ball screens, and the rest is history in that case.
And how critical is defending without fouling in that game? Duke shot just 6 free throws.
Yeah, I don't think the whistle blew most of the game. I thought it was pretty physical. I thought both ways. There were travels, there was 3 seconds, there was fouls, and we just kind of kept playing. So, you know, it was one of those where you had to just play through it. And I think both sides are probably wondering why the whistle didn't blow, but we just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, breaking the fourth wall, the way I can tell if a game is moving fast. So legally, I have to, at the top of every hour, pause for station identification on the broadcast. And usually, that's right before tip-off, the last segment of the halftime show, and then generally the segment after I talk to you in post-game. But this one, you know, we're done with halftime, and it's only 12:50 or something like that. It's like, wow, this game is flying by.
Sure,
the whistle is not blowing.
No.
Having Alyssa Usby back, her second game back in the lineup, and she was part of a spurt that you had in the second half scoring the ball, but also she makes so many contributions defensively. How important was having her back in earning that win over Duke?
Yeah, you know, Alyssa, as you guys all know, she does so much for us on all sides of the ball, and I think she's still a little rusty. You know, she had, I think, 8 turnovers. That's 14 in 2 games. It's too much, but it's hard to take her out because she does so many other things well. But, you know, we'll continue every day she's with us. She's getting a little more comfortable, backed into her groove. But really, she gives you another body, too. I mean, you know, especially with what we're about to embrace on and what we hope is a multiple-day tournament, we need all this depth that we've developed. And I think, you know, Destiny went in and was pivotal for her. And you either have to deal with Alyssa or you have to deal with Destiny. And I don't think people want to deal with either one of them.
How was Alyssa more comfortable on Sunday, in your view, compared to Thursday, that first game back?
I thought she was quicker to the defensive reads and quicker to the glass. Offensively, you know, she finally got used to playing in a crowd. The other team would prefer Alyssa not to touch the ball, as you guys can see. And so she plays in a crowd, and I thought it has sped her up a little bit, where we just had worked on that before she got injured. So we just have to help her slow down a little bit on the offensive end. But I think defensively she's getting her spark back, and she's quicker to her angles and the things that we love to see from her.
Deja Kelly, one of your upperclassmen leaders, didn't have her best shooting day against the Blue Devils, but went 5 for 5 at the free throw line down the stretch, including that critical and one play that was the moment where you felt like, okay, I think the Tar Heels are going to pull this off. What does that say about her mental toughness, that it may not be her day, but then when you needed her right there in crunch time, she delivers?
Yeah, her, Toddy, and Paulina, it's hard to separate any one of them. I mean, they were just huge. They made their free throws. The right guys were on the line. It's nice when you have 3 options that you really are very comfortable with on the line. They took care of their business. You know, Deja's attack, we had shown on a halftime film that she was using her re-attack more so than her attack. And so her ability to see her read at halftime and make that adjustment is a credit to how she's able to, you know, be coached through a game.
45-41, the Tar Heels win it over Duke. It is their 6th AP Top 25 win of the season, 3rd away from Carmichael Arena.
You bet.
So that is definitely a resume booster for Carolina, who also achieves a 20-win season for the 27th time in program history. So a whole bunch of accolades to take away from that Duke victory. We're off and running here on Holding Court. The presenting season sponsor of this program is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. We'll take a timeout and then come on back and look ahead to the ACC tournament that tips off this week. It's after this from Learfield. We welcome you back to Holding Court alongside the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. My name is Matt Krause. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping and look ahead. Carolina will participate in the ACC tournament this week. The Tar Heels are the number 7 seed in the event. That means tipping off Thursday evening. That's March the 2nd at 6 p.m. Tar Heels will take on the winner of Clemson and Pitt. Clemson and Pitt play one another Wednesday at 3:30. So that winner will see Carolina Thursday at 6. the Tar Heels, slash when the Tar Heels win that game, they will play Friday at 6 o'clock against the tournament's number 2 seed. That is the Duke Blue Devils. So potential Carolina Duke round 3. 5:30 will be our broadcast time Thursday and Friday. The semifinal round, Saturday, 2:30 tip-off there on the air, 2 o'clock, Tar Heel Sports Network. We will be receiving full coverage on WCHL for that one, even with the men's broadcast later that day. Thanks to our folks at Learfield for working behind the scenes really, really hard to make sure that this program gets the exposure that it deserves. And then on Sunday, 1 o'clock is the championship game. So 6, 6, 2:30, 1. Those are the game times for the 4 days in Greensboro. Well, Coach, going back to Thursday, not the result you wanted against Virginia Tech, but still it was really special to celebrate your seniors and have the Carmichael crowd be able to recognize them for their quote-unquote lifetime achievements, right?
Yeah, perfectly said. You know, it's hard to do this journey. You know, it takes a ton of courage, as I've said, to be a student-athlete, especially on the public stage like Carolina. And how they've handled their journey is was special to share. And it's a quick adjustment. You go from a game-winning shot that goes not in your favor, and then you've got to quickly celebrate your seniors. But they made it easy because they're the right ones to celebrate.
And that was the public senior celebration. You had a bigger one on Saturday, the day before the Duke game, with the families and senior speeches and whatnot. What can you share from that experience for us?
Yeah, so you know what we do is we have an opportunity to celebrate our senior managers, our senior practice guys, and our senior players, and they speak about their experience, which I think is incredibly invaluable for the younger guys to hear as they're going through their stuff. What actually matters when you're staring your mortality in the face, and then the juniors, speak about the seniors individually. So I think sometimes you get so absorbed in this journey that it's about what you've done and where you're at. And I think when you hear the perspective of seniors, it kind of takes a little bit of that off. I think it's really valuable, and it's just an easy group to celebrate. It's always a special night.
How rewarding is it as a coach to hear about the impact that these players make on one another, whether it's the seniors talking about the underclassmen or whether it's the juniors talking about what the seniors have meant to them?
I just think words matter, and language is important. And there's this day and age, I think so much of it's on their text and on their social media that I'm not sure how often they're actually talking with meaning about each other's journey. And so maybe they're forced to do it, but I think they're glad they did it once it's all said and done.
Now the focus shifting to the postseason. This is our last holding court of the month of February. If you know how to read a calendar, you know that means March is next. ACC tournament is the first step of the postseason for the Tar Heels. What's different about preparation for tournament play compared to the regular season?
Well, you know, what's amazing is you either win the ACC or you don't. So there's one team that wins it, and then after that, it's all about matchup. It doesn't actually matter. So poor Duke, because now they could have won it, and now they're just like us. It's all about their matchup, and the next thing they see is us, right? But the issue that we have is that we either play Pitt or Clemson, and I won't know until Wednesday the same time you guys know. So what we try to do is extrapolate what are their similarities, and that's what we'll focus on in practice on Tuesday. And there's some similarities defensively, pressure and zone that both teams exude, and on the glass they're excellent. But there's some differences offensively that what do we do we pick one, and so it's just not knowing who you're playing just means you're doing double the work, which is fine. It just makes it a little different.
Is there a bit of a deep breath taken at all? Because now you know it's win or go home. That regular season grind is now over, and there can be a little bit of monotony of like, okay, you're playing Thursday, Sunday, and now the intensity's ratcheted up.
Yeah, no, this is not the time for deep breaths. this is not that time. I'm kind of wondering when is, since I first took this job, but there will be a time, and it's not today, and it's not tomorrow, and it's not next month. So, yeah, no, this is the time where you should see the itinerary. You should see kind of where we're at. But you guys aren't rooting for us, for me to take a deep breath right now. This is about making sure that we're prepared to play Thursday at 6 o'clock against whoever we have to play.
What excites you about heading to this event that now you've been to several times? It's year 4 for you at Carolina, and I think you and I would both agree this is the crown jewel event in women's basketball conference tournaments, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, and I'm sure you guys don't need to be reminded of this, but Deja mentioned that her and I have never won an ACC tournament game. It's got a little sting to it, right? And so last year we worked so hard to get the double bye, and again, it doesn't matter if you matters your matchup. So you know, we just looking forward to having another opportunity to make right, which is the ACC tournament that we've yet to have to advance in. But the ACC, over people in Greensboro, do an awesome job. They really make this really special because for some, it's the only tournament they get. So they make it really special for March.
It's really important to note that last year, the number 7 seed was Miami. They made it to the championship game of the ACC. So like you say, Coach, it's not so much where you start as a seed. It's your matchups and then what you do when you're there in Greensboro. So that's really, really important to note for Carolina players and fans and everybody alike. You never got to play in a conference tournament because the Ivy League just started theirs within the last decade or so. Do you ever wish that you got to play on this set?
Why did you have to make that sound so long ago, Matt? That's absurd. Decade. He didn't mean that. That was sort of a little while ago. Yeah, we didn't have a conference tournament in the Ivy League because you played every team twice. So you had like a true champion. And the benefit of that was, is we were always, whether I was an assistant, a player, or a coach, we always had the number one team. So I never wanted the tournament. So I was very aggressive about, no, we don't need to do that. We're just fine with our regular season winner. And then as I started to exit, be on the back nine of my career in the Ivy League, I started to care less about the Ivy League. So now there's an Ivy tournament. So if you're not the one seed, you're pumped, you have another chance. But where I sat, it was just a risk that I didn't want to take.
Well, the Tar Heels getting set for the ACC tournament in Greensboro, tipping off Thursday at 6. We'll get to some listener questions on the flip side when we come back here on Holding Court from Learfield. Welcome back to Holding Courts with the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. My name is Matt Krause. Great crowd gathered here at the Sheraton. Chapel Hill is our last show of the season here at the Sheraton. The final taping of the show for the year will be in conjunction with the selection show party. Stay tuned for more details on that. But one of the great aspects of this show are the listener questions that folks send in on social media. Our friend Brian Chakos is up first.
Oh, the best.
He sends in a question for the first time this year. It's very simple. How does winning 4 in a row against Duke feel?
That's a Brian Chakos question. He's setting me up here. But I will say this is the live questions. People don't know. If you're not here, you don't get the non-live questions. So
that's true.
This is, but to Brian, I know how much it means to everybody at Carolina, and the Carolina-Duke thing is real. And we talked about that. It's a top 15 win on the road. It was a chance to hold them from an AC title, all the things. But the end was just that it's Carolina-Duke. And no matter who you are, where you are, it matters. And I know that right now, as I'm the custodian of this program, one of my jobs is to beat Duke. So far, I've done that.
So far, so good. Stalinguist on... Yeah, let's clap. Stalinguist on Twitter, how pleased were you with the number of Carolina fans in Cameron and how loud they were?
It was so great. It was probably a third to two-thirds, I think, and they're promoting their sellout. First of all, I'm shocked that Cameron seats more than Carmichael. I had to actually look it up on the World Wide Web to confirm that. And so it's confirmed according to Wikipedia. But we had so many fans across the way and in our section, it didn't even matter that there were other people there. And they were loud. And, you know, sometimes the women's basketball fans get told that we're quiet and they're older or they're younger. Not ours, man. They are guns a-blazing. And so it was really, really – I'm sure it was really fun to be there. I don't get to enjoy the games like y'all do, but I certainly get to feel it after the moment, and it was unbelievable.
If I had to guess, and I don't know if anyone's ever counted this, I feel like there's more fold-down chairs in Carmichael. I think Duke can just make up a number of humans that they can fit in that bleacher section in the lower area. And so they just kind of go from there and say, okay, we can fit X number of people.
Because they say 9,000.
9,314 is what they claim.
It's just no way. I mean, I felt like y'all's knees were on my back. No.
Yeah. Anyway, all things hoops on Twitter. It seems like the rotation's coming together as more players become more healthy. How big were Kayla McPherson, Paulina Paris, Destiny Adams down the stretch during the Duke game?
Yeah, I think it's great that on a senior night, the young guys go in and don't care about your senior night, you know. They're more experienced. When we were in it, as you all remember with the injuries, it was hard, right? You're in it and you just built your chemistry, you just built your rotation, and then guys go out. And so everyone kept telling me, it's okay, it'll be better later. And let's hope that continues to be the case.
Daniel Jones is next. How do you focus and reset mentally and physically from an emotional win against a really good team to go to Greensboro this week and play several games in several days?
Yeah, the same way that we did, had to put our big girl pants on after we lost to Virginia Tech at home at the buzzer. You know, it's just Life has too many opportunities and it goes too fast to look backwards. You just got to keep moving. And so now the kids are off today. We will practice here with our guys tomorrow, and then we'll make our way because we can shoot in the Coliseum on Wednesday. So, you know, we just next up, and next up will be the winner of Clemson and Pitt. And whether I show film or not against Duke is still to be determined. It's kind of like we're just moving forward.
Jonna Everett is next, and you mentioned that as part of the senior celebration, you got to recognize the senior managers, and it leads us right into this next question. Jonna says she's interested in the little behind-the-scenes things. When the team travels and plays multiple games, like they will this week, who packs up the players' uniforms, who washes or cleans the uniforms and warm-ups after the game and gets them ready, and what about those shoes?
You know, this is going to show my complete focus on what happens inside the lines. I don't know. I don't really know how that all happens. I was told to bring every color quarter zip I own, so I'll do that. And I asked about the uniforms just because I didn't know what color we were wearing, and literally I was told, don't worry about it. So I'm not exactly sure how that happens. It's not me. And then their shoes. So the players get retro shoes, which are the shoes kind of like I wear on the court, which are very cool and stylish, right? And so they get a handful of those pairs because we want them to travel in Jordans because we're a Jordan brand school. And then when it comes to basketball shoes, everybody's feet are really different. That's why you see quite a range of what they're wearing. They get to pick. Some want mids, some want lows, some feel better on wider shoes. And so they pick their shoes, and then they go as they go through them, it totally depends on their feet, how often they go through them. So the basketball shoes is their jam amongst a wide array of options. And then the retro shoes, I think the senior group chooses which they wear on a certain day when they travel, and those things are way outside of my box.
I can tell you the uniform selection, it is the better seed. So you're going to wear white, well, the team will wear white on Thursday and blue on Friday.
So the higher seed wears the home color.
Yes, better. Right. I always say better seed, you know, because like higher, is it, you know, is 15 higher than one? Is 15 lower than one? It's so confusing. So I'm just trying to, I don't know, clean things up.
Well, that does feel cleaner. We'll be wearing white on
Thursday.
I don't know what
blue
games
on
are.
Friday.
Got it.
Yep. There
yep,
you go.
See, that's
both
who just makes those decisions.
Yep. Back to Stallinguist. How does the team keep fighting when things aren't going well? Duke made the run in the third quarter. Heels were able to respond. They made another run at the start of the fourth quarter. Carolina responded again. Mm-hmm. How does their team keep their heads and respond in such situations?
You know, as I've said before, you sort of do that in the recruiting. You know, you recruit guys that are going to not just front runners, but guys that are into this. And then hopefully this experience, you know, you've gone through it and they go on a 7-0 run, and it's not the first 7-0 run we've had against us, unfortunately. But, you know, you're figuring out why is the 7-0 run happening. In our case, we were turning the ball over too much. We weren't taking enough perimeter shots. We were sort of trying so hard to get layups, and it was like, those are guarded. Let's try the other ones. So part of it is tactical, and part of it is the competitive nature that we recruit.
It is Holding Court, and you can always submit your listener questions to me on Twitter at @MattKrausePXP. Thank you so much to all of our listeners who submitted questions for Coach throughout this season. The presenting season sponsor of women's basketball and this program, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. One last timeout, then we'll come on back, take a very brief look at Clemson and Pitt. It's after this from Learfield. We welcome you back to Holding Court, our final segment of this show, looking ahead to the ACC tournament as Carolina is the number 7 seed. They'll open play in the event Thursday night at 6 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 5:30 with the Reed Jewelers pregame show. The opponents, either Pitt or Clemson, they'll play at 3:30 on Wednesday. Winner will see Carolina. And Coach, just thinking back to the regular season, you played these teams back-to-back in late January. And I remember you telling me at the time that you were able to package some things together because they have some similarities. And you touched on that earlier in the show, too. How much of a benefit is that, not knowing who you're going to play, but knowing there are some similarities?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, both teams are going to press, both teams are going to play zone, and both teams are going to go to the glass. And every team's a little different than how they attack. But these two are two of the more similar teams that we'll play. So that will help, especially because we have a limited amount of prep. That's kind of what it's about in tournament time. So that will at least help our prep. I don't know if it'll help our game, but it'll help our prep.
What's gone so well against Clemson in your tenure at Carolina?
I've recruited good players. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it's like every year is a little different. But we've got good players that have found a way to win more games than they've lost. And regardless of who the opponent is, you know, it comes down to recruiting and coaching and locker room solidarity and all the things that contribute.
And you recruit good defensive players, because now in the last three meetings with Clemson, you're averaging 17 steals a game. So there's your nugget as you get ready for that one. And a similar story against Pitt. Coach Benghardt is 4-0 against the Panthers in her tenure at Carolina. What would a Carolina takeover of the Greensboro Coliseum and great fan support mean for you and these players?
Yeah, you know, we've been fortunate to have, you know, they say that it's an unfair advantage that the tournament's in Greensboro, of which I keep reminding them I've not won a game there. So it's not totally an unfair advantage, but it does help getting our fans there. And my hope is especially if we can get through the first round, to have fans there for the Duke opportunity would really be amazing. But there's a lot of people who've already reached out, and I know there's a lot of tickets already purchased in Greensboro for Thursday. But, you know, this year's version of our program is coming to a close, and this is the time where we need you most. So hopefully people are listening, and it's a short drive, and it's at 6 o'clock. There's no work excuse. Hopefully we can do our thing.
Well, Coach, happy postseason. Congratulations. Thanks, again, on a 20-win regular season, 6 AP Top 25 wins, and a sweep of Duke, just among the many accolades for this program this year.
Absolutely. Matt, you're one of the hardest workers I know. Thanks for always being prepared and making this fun, and for you guys being what I look forward to on a Monday. So, yeah, thanks, and go Heels.
Well, thank you. You make it fun. This has been Holding Courts, and you heard it from start to finish right here on the Tar Heels Sports Network. From Learfield.
Holding Court with Courtney Banghart has been presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heels Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.